Welcome to Tea Time. This is a weekly pop culture podcast on the Ringer Podcast Network. I'm Liz Kelly.
I'm Kate Howell.
And I'm Amelia Wedemeyer. And today we're checking in with trailers. Woman in the Window. Get ready for that. And croissants disguised as wild animals.
Sure.
Sure.
Why not?
Guys, follow us on Twitter at teatime underscore 33. And extra plug for Instagram at teatimepod. Amelia's doing God's work over there. If you like this podcast, you will love our Instagram. So I would recommend you go check that out. It's the brain of Amelia Wedemeyer, and it's a beautiful thing.
All right,
before we get into the show, let's take a quick break.
This episode is brought to you by Empower. You got money questions like, can I retire early? What are my best savings options? Can I afford to pay for my kids' education? Luckily, Empower has all the answers. With Empower's real-time dashboard and real live conversations, you get clarity on your real-life financial goals. So join 18 million Americans and Empower what's next. Start today at empower.com. Tap the banner or visit this episode's page to learn more. Sponsored by Empower, not an endorsement or a statement of satisfaction by a client. This episode is brought to you by Max. The new HBO original limited series, The Sympathizer, is an espionage thriller and cross-culture satire that follows a communist spy during the final days of the Vietnam War and his new life as a refugee in Los Angeles. From executive producers Park Chan-wook and Robert Downey Jr. and based on the Pulitzer Prize-winning novel, The Sympathizer is streaming now exclusively on Max. Tap the banner or visit this episode's page to learn more.
Okay, Tea Time is checking in with trailers released this week. There was a lot going on. We have a mix of genres. We've covered all the bases pretty much. I'm going to start with some low-hanging fruit. The D'Amelio Hulu show has been teased this week. No premiere date yet, but it was like, you know, first look at what the show will really be. Kind of disappointed in the lack of drama. It genuinely just seems like the cameras followed the family around and there's no fighting, as it appears. There's no big moments that I got from the trailer, but it's just the life of the D'Amelios, which is, I guess, fun for some people.
Seems pretty boring from what I've seen.
Yeah, does. I wanted one fight scene, maybe between the sisters or with a big important meeting or like something to blow up, but nothing did. But maybe that's for the best. We don't want them to have like troubled reality TV lives, but yeah.
Sure.
Yeah, that trailer came out. And
they're just
probably
so bland. I read there was an article by Rebecca Jennings this week about like the mediocrity of like the ultra TikTok star.
Oh my God, I want to read that.
Why like Addison Rae and like the D'Amelios and just like these, and not everyone on TikTok, but like the ultra famous ones, why they're just like so bland. And I guess, I mean, it's a great article and you should read it, but basically it just came down to like just the classic like popular person that you can kind of project things onto. And it just, the D'Amelios are such a good example. Like, they're just so boring and they're just blandly pretty and blandly interesting, and which is to say not. And I just, there's just nothing there. At least the Kardashians, like, are almost, like, are messy, you know?
Yeah.
Like,
yeah,
there's just, at least there's, like, something there that you can, like, meme or make fun of or whatever. But, like, the D'Amelios don't even have that. Like, you can't even hate watch it. It just, to me, is just, like, so bland. I don't know.
Well, no, I agree. And I think that's what, like, remember the show The Life of Kylie? Do you remember that?
Oh, yeah.
I think that, I mean, it only lasted one season. And obviously, like, she's the one of the most followed people on the face of the planet. But it's shocking that that didn't translate over to TV. But at the same time, it's also the whole, she's so boring that no one's going to watch it, even if she is like, you know, the most followed person. It's just like, I don't, okay, great. I can catch this for 5 seconds on Instagram.
Right. Yeah. The people who watch the show are obviously people who like her regardless. It's not our age range. It's not really our demo, which is fine. And then they'll watch it. Like, they will not grab anyone new, I don't think, with this Hulu show. But who knows? Okay. Next trailer. Let's keep going.
The next trailer is the movie trailer for Dear Evan Hansen came out this week. If you don't know, it was a very, very popular musical several years ago. Won a bunch of Tonys. Ben Platt won a Tony for the lead role. And so they made a movie, as they do with popular musicals. And there was quite the reaction on Twitter. First of all, the internet has kind of turned on Dear Evan Hansen in recent years. partially because of the plot, which it turns out nobody knew. It was one of those musicals. Obviously, like, Broadway musicals are not for like the average person. Most people don't see them, don't know the plot. The best we can do is listen to the soundtrack on Spotify and like look it up and watch the Tonys. So I was one of those people that was really into the soundtrack when it came out. I think it has some beautiful songs, still do. And I did read the plot, but it turns out many people did not. So when this trailer came out, you know, it shows the majority of the movie in the trailer. And a lot of people online were like, wait, this is not about what I thought it was about. And Dear Evan Hansen is about like this kid who has a lot of, this high school kid who has a lot of social anxiety. And basically he sort of pretends to have been friends with someone who died by suicide, kind of infiltrates his family. There's just, it's supposed to be kind of this message of like self-acceptance and wanting to be loved. And there is definitely some of that, but it's also like very problematic in many ways. And so people did not know that it was about that. So that was, I think, the main reaction on the internet to this trailer. People being like, what the hell? Is this not about a sweet gay boy going through high school? They thought it was like Love, Simon, but a musical. And then the other reaction was that Ben Platt is not a high school student, doesn't look like a high school student, which is fine. I understand casting him. He won a Tony for it. He's like the guy.
Sure.
But, you know, they did recast every other character. And there are a lot of, are a lot of extremely talented teenagers who have played Evan Hansen and look like Evan Hansen still. So, you know, and the wig is tough. I'll also give you that. But listen, soundtrack's great. I do recommend the soundtrack. I would say that I probably don't recommend the movie, but I guess we'll find out.
I guess we will. What other trailers were released this week, Amelia?
We had Hulu's Nine Perfect Strangers, and honestly, it looks like something that I'm totally going to be into. It's just a teaser trailer, but it has Nicole Kidman, and she's acting like a cross between Goop and every cult leader who's ever had like a Netflix docuseries about them.
Incredible.
It's pretty amazing. And it also stars, it's like a really great cast. It's Melissa McCarthy, Luke Evans, Regina Hall, Michael Shannon, and Bobby Cannavale. And they're just kind of all at her wellness retreat where clearly something sinister is happening. And I'm just like, yeah, I will be watching this.
Absolutely. This was the Big Little Lies, like sort of spiritual sequel by Liane Moriarty that we were talking about when we did our Australia check-in, where like all of them were like a squad in Australia. Yeah, honestly, can't wait. Like, I'm all in for this.
Me too. Liz, will you be watching?
I didn't watch The Undoing, but I obviously love Big Little Lies. So yes, maybe I will. Okay. To keep up with the times, I need a new show.
Sure.
Next one.
And then Hulu also released a teaser for Only Murders in the Building, which I don't know who wrote this, but someone said Selena Gomez's Only Murders in the Building. Please have some respect for legends Steve Martin and Martin Short.
Okay? That was me. I needed someone to take it in the outline, so I wanted to like give a nice flashy name.
Okay,
I thought Selena Gomez would entice someone.
But it looks like they're just, you know, a regular trio of people who live in a building and are solving murders. So pretty much what the title implies. But I actually, this looks good. I don't know.
Yeah, you're actually right, Amelia. As I think about this, she's probably the least important person on screen. So you are right. And I will definitely be watching this because last time I watched Selena Gomez act was in Wizards of Waverly Place.
Oh, wow.
I want to see what's been up the last decade.
Yeah,
she, I mean, she's a great actress in that.
I can't believe you didn't see her movie that she did with Paul Rudd. That's shocking for you.
What movie was she in with Paul Rudd?
She did a Netflix movie that Paul Rudd was in.
Pass. Wow.
Yeah.
Okay. Okay. And then lastly, I think I'm the only one super excited about this. Kaya, maybe help me out if you are. But the Friends reunion trailer came out this week, and I was shocked to learn that my co-hosts kind of don't give a shit about Friends. You guys, what's up?
I liked Friends. First of all, you said this and I was like, I like Friends. What worries me is that it's just been so long, you know?
Yeah. It's a reunion. Sure.
It's been a long time.
Yes, it
and,
is.
And I just like, I'm a little worried. With that said, there is one thing going for it that I think not enough people are talking about, which is that Ben Winston, who fucking crushed producing the Grammys this year, he turned James Corden from nobody into a slightly less, more annoying, but like very famous nobody.
So we should hate him.
Well,
I'm kidding. I'm kidding.
He's,
I'm sorry.
He's pretty good.
Okay.
And he's producing this. So part of me is like, I think it's going to be very well produced and like probably pretty entertaining.
It's going to be extremely good, I think. It's like not...
I love your optimism.
I really am optimistic about it. I think
good.
I originally thought way back when it was going to be like all of them in character, go like in an actual just episode of Friends, but however many years later, but it's not. It's like a combo of interviews with the cast, and then they'll like recreate and reread their like famous scenes, which is like really funny and entertaining. They visit the set. They like go through all this stuff. It's going to be a lot of different aspects to it. James Corden does interview them all, which makes sense.
Oh, see, that's God, the that's behind the, it. Yeah.
Yeah. So, which I wish I wasn't the case, but.
Wait, so is it, so they're not doing like updates like, this is what Ross is doing now?
You know, they probably get asked that, like, what do you think everyone's doing? But no, in this trailer, it was just kind of like, what did it mean to you? Let's talk about the beginning. You know, it's more of just like a look back.
Right.
But Janice comes back. Richard was there. So it comes out next Thursday, I think.
Oh, wow.
So I'm going to try to find someone to care. This is maybe a plea to all of you listening.
I'll watch it with you.
Okay, great. Okay, cool.
I think, honestly, I think it's going to be one of those things where, like, people make fun of it, but actually, like, it's huge and people really enjoy it. You know? That's my inkling, but we'll see. Yes.
All right, next category, not worth the tea / this week in social media / miscellaneous. I guess we could just rename it miscellaneous. All right, let's go through some stuff. Amelia.
You know, Ariana Grande... She got married to her realtor husband, I guess now husband, Dalton Gomez. I just, you know, one, it just amazes me how fast news can be confirmed or debunked nowadays. I remember when I was like in sixth grade and there was a rumor that Britney Spears was moving to Edina, Minnesota, which is where I went to school. Shout out to the Hornets. But and I think that rumor lasted for like a good 2 years. And you know what? Guess what? Spoiler alert. She never moved to Edina. So, but anyway, that is all to say that this news came in so swift and it was just confirmed. It was like, yep, it happened. They're married. She's married. She's happy. And it's just like, oh, okay. So, and there were no pictures. It was just like, it happened apparently in Montecito, which I feel like is a, it's a hot spot for weddings. And yeah, that's all really there is to say.
I'm like happy that she's happy. And I do like a celebrity, non-celebrity marriage. With that said, I just like can't believe she married a realtor. Like I'm just still on that. You know, she's a superstar. She could have anyone. And again, like it is romantic when they like fall for the average Joe. And I know he's not like some rando off the street.
I was just going to say.
But he like, you know, sells celebrity homes or whatever. But I just, she's so famous and so fabulous and talented. And he's a realtor. So, you know, it's fine.
Yeah.
I hope they stay together forever. And I'm glad that they had a private, like, personal ceremony. But
yeah, this is not the relationship model to go off of. But I will say her relationship with Pete Davidson, the way that they were very public and the sharing, like, really candid, lovely, like, kind of behind the scenes videos of them just being in a relationship actually makes so it was like, oh, this makes sense. You two are like X, Y, and Z together. I kind of want some of that. Want to get to know who the hell this guy is.
Right.
Which is, again, it's none of our business. She should not really do this.
Right.
But from a selfish consumption standpoint, I'm like, who? Tell me, like, what is his personality?
Who is
what
this
do you
guy?
See?
Right.
Yeah.
Right. Also, we missed out. Can you imagine the Ariana Grande wedding dress that we could have had? Like,
oh,
the wedding fashion that we missed
God.
Out on? I am bummed about that. Like,
yeah,
like,
we'll see a photo.
We'll see a photo of people, right?
I mean, the train, the skirt, it could have been like 6 feet wide. Who knows?
Wait, guys, place your bets. Is her hair up in a ponytail in
her
wedding?
Oh, my God.
No, because veil can cover the tracks, and that's why her hair is always a ponytail, right? It's because, like, her extensions are so, like, hard to hide. So the veil and, like, whatever headpiece she has can cover them, and so she doesn't need to put it in a ponytail. That's my take.
Okay.
Maybe like a bun.
Like a low bun?
Yeah.
Or like a
chignon.
Oh, excuse me. Okay.
Just putting some French in it. Okay.
Okay. Yeah. Well, I guess we'll see. I bet we will see some photograph at some point.
Yeah. You're right.
Next one.
All right. Exciting celebrity news. Demi Lovato has come out as non-binary. They've changed their pronouns to they, them. And they came out in sort of a long statement. They said, I feel that this best represents the fluidity I feel in my gender expression and allows me to feel most authentic and true to the person I both know I am and still am discovering. Demi has been on a journey since they dumped Max What's-His-Nuts like a year and a half ago or whatever.
Maybe? Yeah.
And this just feels like a really natural sort of progression for them and sort of figuring out who they are, what they want long term in their life. And yeah, first of all, I just think it's really brave when celebrities come out as non-binary. There are not that many of them who have come out publicly. Mm-hmm. I think Demi is objectively the most famous non-binary person now. Yeah. I mean, you have Sam Smith, who came out several years ago, uses they, them pronouns. Halsey changed their pronouns to she, they over the pandemic. Jessie Mae Lee from like Shadow and Bone on Netflix also uses she, they. But yeah, I just think it's really important and beneficial for people to just kind of get used to the fact that non-binary people exist. They're famous. Yeah. They're not famous. They're walking around in the world like, you know, gender is a fluid thing and it's constantly changing and people are constantly figuring it out. So yeah, really exciting. Gotta say, my support for Demi still does not extend to their alien show. I will not be watching watching them crash Area 59.
See, that's where mine begins. I'm very interested in this alien content.
You're right. Maybe maybe my support will extend that far. But yeah.
Well, you'll have to see.
We will have to see. Happy for Demi as they sort of just figure things out and sort of just go on this journey.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Equally important celebrity news. Jason Derulo has had a son. And he's named his son Jason Derulo. Now.
Shocker.
Not an uncommon thing for men to name their son after themselves. Although maybe it should be. Historically, I know it's normal. But like, if you think about it, it's still pretty weird. Mm-hmm. But Jason Derulo, just like picturing him in the delivery room, you know, girlfriend gives birth to the baby. They're like, hey, what are we putting on the birth certificate? And all I can picture is him just going, Jason Derulo. Yeah. And this poor kid now has to go through life as Jason Derulo Jr., which is also just a mouthful. It's just really funny. I just find it hilarious that he did this.
Yeah, the identity is so strong with the Jason Derulo Sr. that I would want him to carve out who he was and his identity on his own. He will, I mean, it's insane. Also, I didn't know this until you literally just said that. Didn't read it. Where did your, I think I remember seeing a Lee Pace vaccine selfie in here.
I did. I swapped it in. I was, guys, I was going to talk about the Lee Pace vaccine selfie at one point and he got cut for Jason Derulo, but Lee Pace is vaccinated and he's the internet's boyfriend and I love Lee Pace. So I did have that in the outline for a brief amount of time. Anyway, that's it for me. Go ahead, Amelia.
I just feel bad because, you know, kids, not to, you know, it's so he's gonna get made fun of so much. They're all gonna be on the playground. They're gonna be like Jason Derulo, and just like, oh my god, this poor Jason Derulo Jr. You know,
I like that you both have tried your hand at the Jason Derulo. That like slogan.
You gotta do it. You talk about Jason Derulo, you just have to.
I've watched that video of him. It's like Jason Derulo says his name for 6 hours, like on YouTube. You know, have you seen that video?
No.
This is what he's signing his kid up for. Why would you do that to someone?
He knows what he was doing.
Man, tough.
We got some other baby news, some random, some big, but a lot happened this week. It ebbs and it flows. Naomi Campbell come out, surprise announcement. She has a child now. No one saw it coming, but it was like really big splash on Instagram. She's talked before in the past about how she's wanted to be a mother. So we're happy for her. And it's just like a nice little surprise in the week. Also, just going down the line, Jennifer Love Hewitt is pregnant now with her third child. And you know what? The only thing I got from this article was it said the 911 actress is pregnant. I did not know she was on that show. Or that show was still
she
going.
She also did the SponCon baby announcement, which is always fun.
Thank you. What does Clear Blue have on the entertainment industry?
It's amazing.
No
their
joke.
Reach. Yeah.
That is the celeb pregnancy test. Like, first response, CVS early result. Like, there are multiple.
How do you know all these off the top of your head?
There are multiple brands that you can use, and Clear Blue has got everyone in a chokehold. I don't know what they have on the celebrity.
They're like the gummy bear hair of
they are, Amelia.
Pregnancy tests.
I want to know more. But yeah, she's pregnant. Okay, this one's maybe just for me. Lauren Lapkus is pregnant. She's like a comedian, not that famous.
I like her though. I mean, I haven't seen her in a bunch of stuff too. But yeah.
Why do we all follow her? I feel like we want to know Lauren Lapkus.
Because she's funny. She's funny.
Yeah, she is funny. Lastly, and I think this applies most to like the Tea Time Squad, KJ Apa is going to be a father. And Refinery29 took this opportunity to title their article, KJ Apa reveals he's about to be KJ Papa.
Not good
the
best, one.
Not the worst.
Giving a run for their money.
That's good.
You that's know, the only like, thing
whatever,
I cared about.
Whatever desk editor came up with that was like, you guys, guys, can we go with KJ Papa? And everyone's like, yes.
A good one, yeah.
So that's all in the baby news for now. And then the only other thing in this category from me is that I'm going to let, I believe probably Jam Session will talk about this, and they'll talk about it in a much more intellectual and better way. Just want to briefly say that Mila Kunis and Ashton Kutcher's new home is actually fucking insane. You should go to Architectural Digest and look at the photos for yourself, because I cannot describe in words what it looks like. It's a ginormous mansion barn with ceilings that are what looks like hundreds of feet up in the air, which obviously is not true, but it's like this converted modern farmhouse on 6 acres in Beverly Hills. And I can't do it justice. I just want you all to look these things up. It looks actually insane and kind of like more like a resort that you would stay in like Aspen. This doesn't look exactly like a family home to me, but what do I know?
Where is this hidden?
I saw someone on Twitter say that it was like the ultimate straight person wedding venue. Like that was their inspiration. Was like Pinterest boards of straight people who are getting married in the Midwest.
Yes.
And like they made that into their home. So,
yes.
Wow. No wonder Liz Kelly loves it. Sorry.
That was rude. The only other thing I want to say about their home is that it's a bajillion. It's 6 acres. It's also just so expansive and huge. And then I think they have a bunk bedroom for their two kids, which is really funny. They'll obviously be fine. Oh, but
damn,
I was
you can't
like, really?
Go in their own room?
it's like kind of a smaller room. I think you should just look all these photos up. Okay. Anyway, one more thing. Amelia, what do you got?
Yes. One last thing is that in a recent GQ interview, ASAP Rocky, he confirmed he's dating Rihanna. He calls her, quote, the love of my life and, quote, my lady. Wow. And then he also says, I think when you know, she's the one. And we have yet to hear from Rihanna. She's like, who is this man? I don't know. And I don't know if we ever, they could get married and have children. And I feel like she would still not acknowledge him, which I love. So.
Yeah, this is really buried in this episode, but this is actually fucking enormous news. Like, I think this has been so speculated. Rihanna's love life is like so examined and so picked apart. And like everyone, including myself, I'm like so curious about it. I cannot believe we got a confirmation just in some article. And he was like, yeah, it is what, like, she is the one. We are in love, all this stuff. It's wild.
Here's what kills me about that quote is it's like something you say about, I don't know, just like your wife or your girlfriend when like to someone who doesn't know her, you know, or like something unexpected. I'm like, it's Rihanna. I could see her on the street and be like, she's the one. She's the love of my life.
Yeah,
like,
of course.
This is it for me. You know what I mean? Like everyone on the planet would think that Rihanna is the one. Everyone on the planet thinks that she's the love of their life. It's literally Rihanna.
Right.
So for him to be
shocking.
Like, when you know, I'm like, yeah, of course you know.
That's
it's
true.
Rihanna.
That is true. Actually.
What are we doing here?
He did say like she's a million women in one, which is fair. She's like more than that. But yeah.
Tell us about you, ASAP Rocky. Tell us about why she chose you. Everyone knows why you chose Rihanna.
Question. Wow. Yes.
You know?
Well,
like tell me more about what she thinks of you.
Yeah. Yeah.
This episode is brought to you by State Farm. You might say all kinds of stuff when things go wrong, but these are the words you really need to remember. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there. They've got options to fit your unique insurance needs, meaning you can talk to your agent to choose the coverage you need, have coverage options to protect the things you value most, file a claim right on the State Farm mobile app, and even reach a real person when you need to talk to someone. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
All right. Shall we move into cringe mode?
Let's do it.
You guys, we picked an odd one this week. And I actually will let my co-host talk about why they picked this because I'm unsure. But we are doing this week The Woman in the Window, the new mystery drama on Netflix with Amy Adams. So Kate and Amelia, whoever was called to this movie.
I believe it was Amelia, but it's buzzy, Liz. You're not on Twitter. You don't know what the people are talking about anymore. You know, you're out of touch.
I'm sorry.
That's fair. Whatever. That's fine.
That's why we chose it. Because the people have things to say about The Woman in the Window.
Yeah. And also, we'll discuss this later on, but I feel bad for Amy Adams. And Miles Suri wrote a really good piece on, like, Amy Adams wants an Oscar so bad on TheRinger.com. And it made me sad. But it was also, I was like, it's true. It's so obvious. Give her one, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah. She should have won one for Arrival. And ever since she didn't get one for that, she's just like been freaking out a little bit, I think.
And also Enchanted. Okay. I'm sorry, but that movie.
We'll get to the Enchanted discourse.
Iconic.
We will get there.
Okay. Let's backtrack. Kate or Amelia, anyone want to take the plot?
Oh, man. This movie was scarier than I thought. And I smashed that 10 second button a lot. So funny. I don't know that I'm qualified.
What? Oh my God.
It was scary.
Well, it's about a woman who has agoraphobia. And I don't know if we want to do spoilers in this.
Yeah, we got to.
Let's just give a general spoiler tag. Okay. If you haven't watched it, skip to unanswerable questions.
Exactly. Or
maybe you don't care. If you don't care, then you can continue to listen.
Yeah, here's the thing. I wouldn't recommend. I mean, if you want to have a fun time, sure, that's fine. But yeah.
Just
so
keep
Amy
listening.
Adams, plays this woman. Her name is Anna Fox, and she is agoraphobic. And we're just thrown into the plot. It's just like, whoa, okay, oh, all right, I guess we're here. And so she like meets her next door neighbors, and she meets this woman, Julianne Moore, who is, I think, who is it? Her name is Jane, or she's like, are you Jane? And she's like, what? Okay, I'll see you later. And she invites her over. And then the next thing, she has like it's the most convoluted film, okay? And the son comes over, and I think his name is Ethan, and like he might, you know, he's very awkward.
It's
and he
awkward,
is like, he's just like, my family. And she's like, let me help you. I'm a child psychologist. And it's just like, this is going against so many protocols, okay? So this is not okay.
Yeah.
And it's just like, it's honestly 30 minutes of like just awkward conversation between the two. And I'm just like, oh my God. And then she like randomly witnesses a murder. And of course, this is all going on. There's a very heavy-handed Rear Window analogy going on here. And she's got the camera and she's like, I'm looking through my window. And they see her looking through the window and they're like, we can see you through the window. And she's like, and she closes the shutters. It's like, oh my God. And then, you know, Julianne Moore, Jane, is murdered. She's like, And then they come over to, I guess Amy Adams reports it. She's like, there was a woman and she was murdered. I'm sorry. It's just like, and then the detectives come over and she's like, it was the husband did it. And his name is Alistair and he's played by Gary Oldman, who, okay, I'm sorry, but he looks insane. And he is like, no, my wife is alive. And then it turns out that he has apparently a new wife, new Jane, and it is a woman, and it's played by
Jason Lee.
Thank you, Jennifer Jason Lee, and she, blonde is not her color, I'll just say that. And she was just like, hi, I'm the wife. And Amy Adams is like, I'm not crazy. And they're all like, you're crazy. Your husband's actually dead. And so is your child. Because she's like pretending to talk to her husband and stuff. Sorry, I forgot that part. And it's and so it's just like, okay, this woman is nuts. And then at the same time, she has a downstairs tenant played by Wyatt Russell. And let me just say, just the most throwaway character. His name is David, and he's insane. He's just like,
why is David here?
We got to talk about David as an entirely separate thing. Let's wrap up. So then what happens?
And then Ethan, the kid who she was talking to, who's really awkward, comes over and he's like, actually, you were right. Like, that was my birth mom, Julianne Moore. And like, I killed her and now I'm going to kill you too. And then it's just like, okay, great. And then she battles him. She wins. And then they're all like, oh, you were right. We're so sorry that we called you crazy. And then at the end, she's like, I'm going to go outside in the world. I don't have agoraphobia anymore.
Wow.
Well done. That was more than I'd ever dreamed of.
Okay. Stunning. Thank you. I'm sorry. That was really long. I apologize.
That's honestly impossible to sum up this movie in less than 30 minutes.
Yeah. Let's do some highlights at the top. Let's think of the good.
Okay. Well, as Amelia just made abundantly clear, a lot of famous people in this movie.
It's tons.
A shockingly stacked cast. People who have won Oscars and been nominated for Oscars for some reason did this movie.
Yikes.
And they're here and they're trying.
They are. They are acting.
They are acting.
They are acting.
And that's the most I can give them.
Sure.
But they showed up. They showed up and they gave it their all. They gave it like 80% of their all.
Yes. Julianne Moore also shows up blonde, which I thought was like a fun new thing, kept me entertained.
Well, there was already one redhead in this movie, and you know, audiences can only like figure out one at a time. So Amy Adams took the redhead spot.
And she looks better than Jennifer Jason Leigh, I'm sorry.
Yes.
Yeah, she does.
As a blonde, you know?
She does.
Jennifer, it's washing you out. Amy Adams, I loved her oversized shirts that she was wearing. They look super comfy. And now I want to go to LLbean.com and, you know, buy some oversized men's shirts.
Yeah.
So thank you, Amy. also, I thought her cat was really cute. I love those.
Really cute.
Really weird-looking Persian cats.
I was so concerned for the cat the whole time. I was like, someone's going to kill her cat. I think the worst thing that happened was it like had blood on its paws at one point.
Right. Yeah.
But
yeah,
I was
really
worried for the cat.
Yeah. And again, it gets like shoved in a carrier at the end of the movie when she's packing up her home.
Right.
Yeah, you probably fast forwarded through that.
I probably did.
Also, shout out Amy Adams. So as Amelia said, there's basically this like this fight between the teenage serial killer and Amy Adams, which is just insane as a concept. And it's not just like serial killer movie, someone's running, the door slams and glass.
Right.
This is legitimately like a fucking fight. Like the two of them are throwing punches, shoving each other. Legitimately, Amy Adams gets a pitchfork through the mouth, three stabs in her cheek.
Oh no, I definitely skipped that. Jesus.
It comes out. She's got three gaping holes in her face. She's still fucking going. She's on something. It's that adrenaline pumping through her. She literally, she lives in this bajillion dollar, beautiful walk-up brownstone in New York.
Mm-hmm.
There's all these stairs. They're fighting on the stairs. Again, Amy Adams, maybe 5'5", not sure. nothing to her. Fucking kicks this teenager with just one leg after she's been stabbed 400 times. Literally, the power of this kick propels him down two flights of stairs. Like nothing I've ever seen before. Like unbelievable amount of power in those legs. And it ends up like being his demise. It was just unbelievable the physicality that Amy Adams had from within.
Oh, God. Cast her in a Marvel movie.
Seriously. Seriously.
Wow. She was probably like, Oscar! And then she kicked him. And she was like picturing her highlight reel.
Oh, my God.
Yeah. Wow. I'm sad that I missed that. I'm not sad that I missed the pitchfork through the cheek, but you know,
that was disturbing.
You win some, you lose some.
Yeah.
My final highlight is that people should actually just skip this and go watch Sharp Objects on HBO, which is the far superior, creepy Amy Adams, unreliable narrator offering. It's a show. There's also a creepy teenager. There's also Patricia Clarkson is a creepy blonde.
Hmm.
Chris Messina is there. He's very sweaty. There's just a lot to love.
It's really good.
It's also based on a book. We didn't mention that, but this is based on a book.
Oh, right.
Sharp Objects is a Gillian Flynn book.
Yeah.
That's my recommendation.
All right. Let's do some lowlights. This will be fun. Kate, go ahead.
This is a bad movie to watch when you've been stuck in your house for a year. It starts out, she's talking to her therapist and he's like trying to get her to go out of the house. This whole movie is about how like you got to get out of the house. You know, healthy people leave the house.
Right.
Healthy people don't watch people out of their window. I'm like, okay, I've been watching my neighbor's ducks out the window for the past year and 3 months.
I know how
high their weeds are. I notice every time the child is jumping on the trampoline. I know everything about the new girlfriend that my other neighbor has. I'm like, I cannot be here right now. This movie is not for me because I am far too close to Amy Adams' character. Mm. Not because I have agoraphobia, just because I don't have a car and I've been stuck at home during a global pandemic. So tough. It was a tough watch for someone who's been stuck in their house staring out the window.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Also, just everybody shut their blinds. Feel like everybody's better off. Just nobody look and shut your blinds between this and You on Netflix, where Penn Badgley stares at the woman he eventually kills, season one, so I don't feel like it's that big of a spoiler, through her open window because she did not shut the blinds. And she also changes in front of that, which is like, bad idea. And
then, Rookie mistake.
Disturbia, which I watched 400 years ago, still stays with me. Shia LaBeouf witnesses some creepy shit through an open window. It's like, I actually don't like looking at buildings at night with windows open when there are like people inside. There's something so creepy about that to me. Mm-hmm. Everybody just shut the blinds. You know, nobody needs to know. And
it's a good life lesson.
Weird shit.
Yeah.
Another low light is like everyone across the board in this movie was creepy. Like Amelia said, there is this throwaway character, this tenant David, who is so creepy for no fucking reason. He turns out just to be like the tenant. And I thought like he's maybe the murderer or know something. No.
Never.
But he's creepy too.
And I mean, I guess that's the goal, right? Is like to throw suspicion on everyone. But you're right. Yeah. I was like, give me one normal person.
Yeah.
No one.
From top to bottom, every character is creepy. And it's like, is there not one person to relieve this energy? No, was the answer.
There isn't.
And lastly, sorry, I had a lot of thoughts when I watched this. Where are all the other neighbors? And
oh
is
my
this
God.
The quietest street that New York City has ever had in its existence? Because the whole thing, the reason why Amy Adams goes to the window and watches this murder, besides she does spy on them periodically, but she's in the bath and she hears a scream. But they are legitimately across a New York City street from one another. She lives in looks like a very expensive brownstone, and they look like what's in a very expensive brownstone. Where are the other neighbors that would have also heard the scream, done something, called someone? Or how did she even hear that? Like, it just didn't really check out.
We don't know.
You know, was not very realistic.
You're right.
Agreed.
Anyway, keep going, Amelia.
Okay, so I'm sorry, but I just don't care about any of these characters. We were just thrown in, honestly. And it was just like, okay, great, here we are. And I do want to mention that people were also kind of down about this movie because it's based on a book, the same title, by a guy named A.J. Finn, which is actually a pseudonym for Daniel Mallory, who... he wrote this book, and then it came out that his personal life actually was crazier because he faked having cancer. He faked his mom dying and stuff. Yeah, it was like this, a subject of this, I think it was like a piece in the New Yorker, and he's just like kind of a compulsive liar. Mm. And they recently announced a series based on him, and Jake Gyllenhaal is going to star as him. So look out for that.
Wow. Interesting.
Yeah. But again, it's just like, okay, these people, they're kind of throwaway to me. And then also, David, not to get back to David, but were they just like, I don't know if, you know, Goldie Hawn like bribed someone to be like, my son.
Yes.
It's just like, why?
Amelia, yes. There was no point for this character.
No point.
He ended up being breaking his parole and kind of a criminal, but with no stakes attached to that. It just turned out he was just like kind of a shitty guy, and that's it.
It was so weird.
He sleeps with Julianne Moore, and he like no
right,
just, yeah.
And he's just like, I'm a fun tenant. And then 5 seconds later, he's like, I hate you for looking at my mail. And then all he does is like trip the serial killer son, and that's the extent of his usefulness.
Oh, yeah. Mm. He actually ends up dying, doesn't he?
He does, yeah. He gets stabbed.
R.I.P.
R.I.P.
Kate, you must have missed that as well.
I did.
okay. I saw the look on your face. You're like, oh. Okay. What has aged the best and the worst to you guys, Kate?
This genre of Gone Girl ripoff has aged so poorly. I mean, obviously Gone Girl, incredible hit. Gillian Flynn books like have been everywhere, whatever. But after that, there was The Girl on the Train with Emily Blunt. I don't know if you guys remember that. But like,
basically
this
book.
Movie. Me too. Because people thought, they were like, white woman who drinks and is suspicious. And this is going to carry us for the next 20 years.
I was confused. And I honestly thought it was like some like National Book of the Year book or like Pulitzer Prize winner. And then I read it and I was like, oh, no, this is a beach read. Okay.
really, it's pretty bad. And the movie was even worse. I went to see the movie in theaters because I was like, Gone Girl is great. Like, this is the next thing. And it was like Justin Theroux and Emily Blunt. And then it was like basically this movie. And then now there's this movie. And every time you go to Barnes & Noble, there's a table of books that's like, Girls Missing, The Girls Ran Away, Girl Murdered. And it's like they all have girl or woman in the title. And
Mom with the drinking problem.
This exact thing. And it just hasn't aged well. We could have just quit after Gone Girl, been like one and done. Yeah. Great. We nailed it. We're done. But we haven't. Yeah. So although I am kind of a sucker for those kind of books, I'll be honest. So I am unfortunately part of the problem.
Yeah. This is not aged. Well, it has actually, even though this came out in the year 2021, but it is age poorly even right now, and it will only continue to get worse. Okay. So there's a scene where Amy Adams is like in her descent to madness. She's like all confused and she is like trying to calm herself down. She gets this email on her computer, this message from someone, and she like clicks to open it. And the scene is that her computer is loading this image as she walks away and like does something with her cat. So she's not seeing what this image is that's loading. Turns out someone's been watching her sleep. It's a photo of her sleeping in her room. It's kind of like, I'm watching you. I'm on to you. Something, something, something. I know this was her dramatic effect, but this one JPEG loads pixel by pixel for like 25 seconds as it comes in, as it's Amy Adams sleeping. And I'm like, it's 2021, you guys. Like, what kind of dial-up does she have in that brownstone that she can't load one JPEG instantly or even under 5 seconds?
Great question.
It comes in so slow. And I was like, I know this is a move. This is just like for the movie and to build suspense. But like, guys,
Come on.
iMovie or something that would look like slower.
She's a child psychologist who clearly works from home. So like you gotta have a better Wi-Fi if you're affording your brownstone.
Yeah. It just really made me mad. And then lastly, Amelia.
Okay, so this is like literally aged the worst. And this, I don't want to shame him, but I will say, Gary Oldman looks unrecognizable. I was like, who is this old man? He looks so old. It's like, maybe buy some Just for Men hair dye. Oh my God. He just looks so old.
Snow white hair in this.
It's also just like,
we're supposed to believe that you landed Julianne Moore. Come on.
Exactly.
True.
Unrealistic.
All right, let's do the MVP. I actually kind of cheated. I did a least valuable player for this category. Mm-hmm. And I will be damned if there was one ray of sunshine in this entire movie. It was so dark and stormy. Everything took place either in the most overcast day you've ever seen or at night. And there was no lighting anywhere to be seen besides these like really bright bulbs like in Amy Adams' kitchen. And it was like really jarring. Obviously, I understand. It's like painting the picture of the movie and it's creepy. But I was like, you guys, it's kind of hard to watch. It's so dark the whole time. There was no reprieve. I was like,
agreed.
This is just
agreed.
Dumb. Kate.
My MVP, Amelia has talked quite a bit about how Jennifer Jason Leigh looked terrible in Blonde. And the whole point, I believe, of her character, which showed up for 10 seconds, is to just be like, not Julianne Moore. Like, you know, you think the wife is Julianne Moore. Then all of a sudden she's like, I'm what's her face? And it's Jennifer Jason Leigh. And I just love picturing like the casting call to Jennifer Jason Leigh, like them being like, yeah, hi, do you want to come play a creepy version of Julianne Moore? And her being yes, obviously every choice I've made in my career has led to this moment.
Oh my God.
Because literally she shows up and she's just like crazy eyes. And it's like, I'm Jennifer Jason Leigh. And it's just.
And that's perfect. It.
That's what she was made to do. Just be creepy Julianne Moore.
I love that.
Who's your MVP, Amelia?
Honestly, I think it's Amy Adams trying the best she can to salvage this flop.
Yes.
You know, she wants this Oscar. And honestly, I don't blame her. She deserves it. And, you know, she's also going to be in the Dear Evan Hansen movie. She was in that Hillbilly Elegy movie. And, you know, I mean, I get it, Amy. I get it. And I, too, wish you would win an Oscar. Yeah. But you know what? Maybe make smarter choices. Sorry.
Yeah.
Right. Maybe it's
work
not
smarter, not harder, Amy.
100%.
Okay, let's quickly do the lightning round. Is this scarier than Jennifer's Body, the only other scary movie we've covered? Kate.
I had wheresthejump.com for Jennifer's Body, which is why I was able to watch almost all of Jennifer's Body, which is, you know, the website where it tells you when the jump scares are coming.
Smart.
Unfortunately, wheresthejump.com was not updated quickly enough to cover The Woman in the Window. So I just had to go in blind. So yeah, I was probably more scared by this one because I was less prepared.
Yeah. This one was also less enjoyable than Jennifer's Body. I was like, yeah, kill all men, do that, haha. Right. But then this is like, oh, there's a legitimate something going on. So I say yes. Amelia?
Agreed. Yeah, definitely.
Okay, what's the scariest movie you've ever seen, Kate?
I'm surprised we haven't talked about this before, but I guess we don't do scary movies very often. Mine is that we watched The Orphan at a volleyball sleepover.
Wow.
But I legit did not look up from my popcorn bowl the entire time. Like, actually, not an exaggeration. I, for an hour and a half or however long it was, I literally stared at the popcorn bowl and saw like maybe two frames of the entire movie.
Yeah.
So saying that I've seen it probably is not. I don't feel like I've seen it, but
I've
that's
done
the
that
one
with
where it's
so
like
many.
The grown woman who like they adopt, but like they adopt a little girl, but it turns out she's like a grown woman.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, I actually so have heard up. That's incredibly scary.
It's supposed to be very scary, so I have not seen it.
I watched Silence of the Lambs like legitimately through my hands, and it was Halloween day in the eighth grade in an acting class. Kate, I know you had questions about that.
I did have Liz wrote Halloween acting class on Alan. I was like, I don't know how LA does it. Do they have Halloween acting classes?
They don't have themed Halloween acting classes.
Got it.
No.
Got it. Yeah. That makes
Amelia?
Sense.
I agree. Silence of the Lambs is very scary, especially at the spoiler alert at the end with the night vision goggles. Very scary. Also The Conjuring really freaked me out. I saw that in theaters, did not like it. I recently saw Annihilation too, and that one was scary. It was fun though. It was fun, but it was scary.
Yeah. So. Annihilation might be one of the scariest movies I've actually legit watched.
Yeah, it's one of those where you can watch
it's like freaky.
But it's really freaky, and then you have a lot of thoughts afterwards. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. It's good.
Next question. Is Amy Adams the worst landlord in the entire world? We did not talk about this very briefly. Like we said, David is her fucking tenant. She, the whole movie, knocks twice, just barrels down those stairs into his open unit. Max two times. Maybe like a David once. That was it. So rude. So unprofessional. Is she the worst landlord of all time, Kate?
Yes, without question. She's there all the time. Too.
Yes,
like you don't want whoever lives in your house to be there all the time.
Right.
That's like the number one thing you don't want.
Right. Amelia, agree?
Yeah, totally. And she's, you know, looking through his mail again. It's just rude.
Yeah, the worst.
Does Amy Adams need a career redemption? And if so, how? Kate?
Yes. And I fully believe that Enchanted 2, Disenchanted, which is in the works, Maya Rudolph is the villain. I don't know what more we could possibly want from this movie. Yeah. I think it can single-handedly revive her career.
Great. I'm in.
Me too.
An Oscar for Amy. We failed to get an Oscar for J-Lo. Amy Adams is our new project.
Okay.
So we'll do our best.
Okay, great. Okay, lastly, Tea Time's unanswerable questions. All wildlife related. It's a special
exciting
week. Amelia, go ahead.
Week. So this tweet was from like a few weeks ago, but Mark Hamill tweeted, there was like this picture of a croissant. It was like a brown croissant in a tree in Krakow, Poland. And people were reporting like, oh my God, there's an animal on the loose. It's so scary. But then it was like breaking news. This is actually a croissant in a tree.
What the fuck?
I know. Which is just like, what? How do you accidentally mistake a piece of food for a wild animal? Like, I don't get that, but sure. Okay. So
you describe this perfectly, and yet it is still shocking to see the image. Like, this is insane.
Yeah.
What do you think? It's like a nest of something? Like, okay,
on a walk. Okay, maybe. Yeah.
As someone, again, who has spent a lot of time watching, like, my neighbor's ducks, you're on a walk, you see a strange thing in a tree. Maybe you think it's an animal. But then, like, you come back a couple hours later, it hasn't moved.
Wouldn't right.
Do you think I'd be like, okay, maybe it's like a hornet's nest or like some sort of nest thing? And I would go to that. And then, like, if you come back the next day and it's still there, then I would start going, okay, it's not alive and has never been. You know?
Well, right. Yeah, totally. And I guess, but if it were even, I don't know, maybe me personally, I feel like it's a nest of some kind. I'll just leave it. But I guess people were like reporting it to the Krakow Society of, I don't know. But
also, it's difficult to stress how clearly it's a croissant.
I mean, yeah, it's pretty obvious it's a croissant.
Oh, that's
so
good.
I guess to answer your question, which was,
Oh, yeah.
Go ahead. Oh. Ask it.
Accidentally mistaken a piece of food for, you know, a wild animal.
I saw a blueberry on the carpet the other day and I thought it was a bug.
Oh, that's fair. Okay. That's, yeah. I get that.
That happens to me because I'm nearsighted and afraid of bugs. So actually, I would say it happens to me semi-regularly, but not like wild animals.
Sure.
Yeah, that would take a lot, I feel like, to confuse this.
Same.
Okay, Kate, ask your wildlife question.
Oh, yeah. This is a whole wildlife-centric unanswerable questions. I love it. Okay. Several months ago, I think, we discussed the swan, the killer swan, that Martha Stewart posted about. She was very concerned about this swan. It turns out Martha Stewart has like a ton of birds. There was a New York Post story about a guy who loves peacocks. And the story made a reference to Martha Stewart's 16 peacocks, which she took offense to because she doesn't have 16 peacocks. She tweeted and said, "The Post has a story on peacocks today, and it says I have 16 on my farm. I actually have 21 of these glorious birds whose house is impeccable." Unclear if it's the peacock's house or her house that's impeccable, or both. She said, "They do not smell. They are so clean." So my unanswerable question is, since we already talked about the swan, and now we know she has 21 peacocks, how many large birds do you think Martha Stewart comes in contact with on a daily basis? Like, how many massive birds are just like part of her day-to-day life? Because now we know of 22.
I think a lot.
A lot, right?
Yeah. I bet she's got roosters, right? And chickens.
She does. Sure. She does. Apparently, she has a blog where she posts about chicken, ducks, geese, a mute swan. Unclear.
That's the killer swan.
Is that the killer swan?
That's okay, the killer swan. Yeah.
I guess it's her swan.
Okay. So she adopted a killer swan.
Yes. Six horses, dogs, cats, and then her 21 peacocks. I mean, good for her. I'm glad that she literally has a farm.
Yes.
It's a lot of peacocks. Like 21 is simply too many, I would say.
I mean, I feel like I don't know what they eat, but it seems like that's a lot of food. They just walk around, right?
I guess they just like to see them. I mean, I guess if they're clean and their house is impeccable, I have no complaints. Right. Yeah, Martha, it's a lot of birds.
I feel like keeping tabs on her. She has like a fun woman to keep up with.
Just check in with Martha's farm every now and then. Yeah.
One time we will just have to check in with Martha. We've done it with Martha. Gwyneth. We can do it with Martha.
Yes.
Lastly, this came together at the very last second. Kaya, please jump in if you could do this better than I can. We're going to talk about bees as the last piece of wildlife news because Angelina Jolie is working on a Women for Bees initiative that National Geographic wrote about today and released a photo shoot, which we're going to talk about. Essentially, it's this initiative that will build 2,500 beehives and restock 125 million bees by 2025.
That's cool.
While training and supporting 50 women beekeepers in their own operations. Extremely, extremely cool. So the photo, of course, the tea time spin on it is we're going to talk about the photo shoot that Angelina Jolie did, where she is covered in bees. And Kaya, out of left field, Kate, I see your hand up. Before I keep going, would you like to say something?
Well, I agree with Kaya because you said she's covered in bees. Kaya, would you say that this picture shows Angelina Jolie covered in bees?
She's clearly not. She has maybe 20 bees on her. Okay. 30 bees on her.
Okay.
She's
like 100.
But Kaya. She has no bees above her nose.
She's got one on her fucking cheek. Kaya, more than three bees is covered in bees.
I would say I would agree with Liz. That's covered in bees.
See,
what more do you want?
That's a lot of bees.
What on her, maybe the, her forehead?
See, I agree.
Do you want her to die?
No, she's not going to die. Also, like, just Photoshop a few more on.
Right.
Like,
Fill it in a little bit.
Yeah.
Yeah, but it's a bee initiative. They can't phone that stuff in. They have to make it, like, real.
No one's going
to
know.
I also, like, you see these clusters of bees. Remember, like, the hot dog cart in New York that had, like, all the bees on it that was covered in bees, like, several years ago? No, just
me. Must have missed that.
Anyway, they're, like, really thick when they're, like, covering something. And to me, I'm like, Angelina, you already have, what, 100 bees on you? What's 200 more?
What's
you
a know?
Couple more? Like, if you already have hundreds of, I think there are probably 100 bees in this picture. Add several hundred more. Really commit.
I'm sorry. Wait, do you think there's 100 bees in this photo of Angelina Jolie?
Yes.
I would say there's like 40.
There's like a, remember those elementary school games where it's like, guess how many buttons are in the jar?
Oh my God, yes.
This is what that is.
Wait, can we all guess and then count after the pot?
Yeah, yeah.
I think there are 119 bees on
this. Oh my God. Are you crazy? Kate, do you have your glasses on?
No, I actually have my contacts on. So maybe that's the issue. How many bees do you think are in this picture?
I think there's 43. Stop,
don't count. Just guess.
43.
That is so low. Amelia?
I think there's like 55.
Oh, Kaya? That's good.
Kaya said 20.
I'm revising that to say, yeah, from like maybe 52.
Okay. You guys all guessed way too low.
Yeah. Anyway, the question, so Kaya basically out of left field was like, not enough bees. The first thing she saw this photo and everyone was like,
oh,
what the hell?
Oh my God.
I agree with you.
So her question was like, how many bees is just right or too many or too few on a fucking bee photo shoot?
I guess the point is you want to show off the bone structure. You want to show off the outfit.
Right.
Yeah.
I think she could have fit more on her shoulders.
Well, but then it becomes like a farce.
It's like hilly.
Yeah. I just think the bees just are not central enough in this.
Oh my God.
Photo
well, what
shoot.
Do you want? I mean, honestly, if you add more bees, then it's just like it's ripe for being a meme. Then people are like, oh, bees.
That's true.
Okay.
That is
I,
true.
Like, you know, I think I'm biased because I was watching TikTok videos of this woman who's like a bee expert. And that is a lot of bees.
But
like,
she's a bee expert, Kaya. This is Angelina Jolie we're talking about.
Well, maybe they should have photographed the bee expert.
You're right. That's
actually,
the solution.
Yeah, maybe that's the solution.
Put the TikTok bee lady on National Geographic. That's where we've landed.
Yeah. Guys, let us know your thoughts on
I'm gonna
bee photo shoot.
The bees, too many. And you're all going to eat your words when we count the bees. Report back later.
Okay. Okay, we will. We will. Anyways, thank you to Kaya, the bee expert and our producer of this podcast. And thank you all so much for listening. I'm Liz Kelly.
I'm Kate Alwell.
And I'm Amelia Wagner.